For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What time is it? Showtime. The brothers discuss sports and provide betting tips. The best kept secret in sports investing. Please welcome Bolt Brady and his bro.
Well, hello, my friends. Welcome in to another episode of Bolt Brady and his bro. It's the best place where we talk sports gambling and break it all down for you. We're going to wrap up the Masters, and then it's time to dive into the NBA play-in and the whole playoff picture. So welcome in, Bolt.
Yep, good explanation, because I know we have a lot of new listeners ready for the NBA, so they might not play golf, but we just got to do a little wrap-up here on the Masters. And there was some good and there was some bad there. Actually, the people that follow me on the Action Network, I think I text you on Friday. Once I saw Scotty get up by the leaderboard, like he was minus five and the leaders were at six, I text you and I go, that's ball game.
Lights out.
I go, you're letting the number one player in the world right now get that close to the leaderboard? See you later.
Yeah. It's not like he had to fire and kind of come backdoor this thing. It's like he was already right there with you guys step and step.
Yeah. And so I started in-gaming it. You know, people following on the Action app could see that. I started just in-gaming Scotty throughout the tournament. I'm like, up, we'll take him for the winner. Up, we'll take him for the winner. The only bummer part on the picks were Giordo.
Mm.
Wow.
I told you I love that guy. I just I haven't seen it lately.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a buddy who we laugh about when he's texting us golf stuff. He's like, this course has no teeth. Giordo, it's time to can the coach. Call Butch.
Yeah, because he played horribly. He didn't even make the cut.
Well, I mean, I was watching him start, and, you know, on number one, he went a little, like, long on left, and his chip didn't even get on the green. It went on, and it rolled off, and I go, oh, man, he starts with a double bogey.
Yeah, I saw that. Dude, you know, you put all your guys in, right, you know, for all these contests you're in, and then... Yeah, I had the Giordo, and he starts off with the double, and I go, rotten, here we go. Mm-hmm. It's like, and then, like, Rory, hole number two is the par five, and that hole is not difficult. Like, there's some holes on there that are more difficult than others, and number two is not. You know, it's the par five.
Yeah, no, one's not the easiest opener, but then two, if you can draw it down, you know, the hill, just you can't go too far left like Tiger did. It gets a little, there's a stream and some pine straw, but if you're in the go zone there, it's not that bad,
right? And so when guys are bogeying that hole like Rory did, because that's what Big Roar did when he started out, and I go, oh, that's trouble. And then like another day I put like Victor into the Action app for a matchup. Mm-hmm. And Victor takes the eight on it, the triple bogey, and I go, that's ball game.
Yeah, I'd forgotten to mention him too. You know, I loved him last year, like a lot of people, but he changed the swing this year. He just moved from Oklahoma to Florida. So I was like, he's got a lot going on right now. He's not going to really perform great currently.
Yeah. Well, no, I didn't take him overall. You know, I told you I like to do matchups. The matchups went pretty well. I was taking Patrick Reed against a lot of people.
Philly had to take down Tiger if it was for tournament, right?
Yep, I didn't take that, but yes, he did. You were right. Philly did take care of Tiger. That wasn't very difficult. Oh, that was the one I had. Spider-Man, Camilo
Vichegas.
He was in the tournament. I actually was one, you know, reading about him. Super sad. I don't know if you know, he lost his 14-month-old daughter.
I knew they were battling some stuff.
Yeah. So anyway, it was nice to see that he was in the tournament. But round four, I took Camilo because he was plus money against Tiger. And I'm like, wow, Tiger just struggled on Saturday. Because this is just too much for him. I mean, you got to give Tiger props. I mean, guy's had a small amount of surgeries and he's walking this incredibly difficult course to walk. Mm-hmm. You know, he was like, hey, I did the goal. I made the Masters 24 years in a row making the cut the rest of the week. And I'm sure he was like, whatever. So I rode that.
Yeah. You were texting like, are we going to get the withdrawal here, you know, before the fourth round? And he showed up bright and early, you know, with his son and was banging balls with him on the range. There were some cool pictures, but I was surprised. You know, which that's the better message to send. Like, you started it if you can play.
Yeah. I'm sure the guy's in a ton of pain, though. I mean, you know how we all get, like, if you just have, like, a little back or whatever. Dude, how's that guy feeling? I mean, how many surgeries has he had?
Did you see? He kind of pulled his shirt up once to rub, like, the cream on the back. Yeah. And you could see he had, like, one of those, like, the Shaq packs, like, the ice and heat ones.
Did he?
It was kind of, like, on his skin. You know, he's putting, like, that biofreeze rub on his hips and stuff too, so I'm sure he's got to fire everything up there pretty good.
Yeah, big time. So I mean, you got to just give him props for,
and the amateur he played with on day four, he's like, yeah, he told me he got up at 3:45 this morning to kind of get everything going just so the body felt decent.
Wow, that Tiger did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sure he does a lot behind closed doors that we're not even aware of. One of the things about the Masters that I was listening to this podcast, the Joe Pomp podcast, for people out there, this is a free plug for Big Joe, but it talks about sports and business. It's a cool podcast. I like it. So he was talking about the Masters. How about a couple of these things I didn't know? First of all, the media, you know how they wear those tags around their neck, you know, saying that they can go into certain areas?
The badge?
Yeah, the badge. There's actually a chip in that. So they know where the media is at all times, so they can follow them.
Oh, wow.
Big brother, right? And then you heard this too, $70 million in sales they do for over the week. Yeah, for the merchandise.
Yeah, I saw it was $10 million a day. And then one of the cashiers, they asked him, like, what's the most you've sold to someone, you know, like in one visit? And they're like, $30,000 some dude just spent.
Oh, I know a guy like that.
And they've got like the FedEx right there too, so you just kind of purchase, then you send it to your house.
Oh yeah, that's a great idea. The other thing that I thought, you know, obviously the course is immaculate, the condition it's in, so I guess all the wrappers, you know, that the food comes in is green, so that if someone accidentally drops it, It blends in with the grass.
Huh.
I thought that was pretty cool to know. And then, so how about this? Back in the 90s, I guess someone was in a thrift store and bought one of the green jackets and didn't know it was a Masters jacket, bought it for $5, and it sold for $140,000. It was one of the past winners. They don't know who it was, but someone found it in the thrift store.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, if you win it for the current year, you can take it home, but you know, everyone else has to leave it on site.
Yeah. And then you have to give it back, right?
No, you keep yours, but like, there's only so many lockers up in the championship locker. And so like, you share with like three other dudes, you know, it's like Tiger, VJ, and Phil, all their jackets are in one locker.
Oh, really? Okay. And then, I thought it was, you know, he denied it, but you heard it too. Big Zach Johnson seems like kind of a mellow guy, dropping the F-bomb on the crowd.
Yeah, they said someone was maybe taunting him, a few guys, you know, in the distance, and he was like, F-off!
Yeah, I'm sure they were. They guaranteed someone was taunting him, and then he gets a triple bogey, and his reaction was, I'm dropping the F-bomb on here. Unfortunately for him, the microphones caught it.
Well, you know, he's a past winner, and then he knows they have their own rules. Last thing he wants is to not be allowed there. So he's like, that's just laughable, you know? And it was like, well, something happened there, bud.
So anything else that you want to say besides Scotty just being pure domination? I mean, like you said, and you took the words right out of my mouth, he was UConn this week. It was just like he was the favorite. There was like really no drama. I mean, especially on Sunday, dude, the guy just has tee bags. He'd get a bogey, next hole, birdie. And then they're like, oh, he's got 5 birdies in the last 8 holes. And it was just like, see you later, everyone. One of our friends texted us and said he took Max Homa the day of Sunday. And I'm like, really? I'm like, not Scotty? And he's like, well, the odds. And I think people do that a lot. They're like, well, Scotty's odds are probably minus or whatever. They're like plus 100. Well, Max Homa's probably plus 350. Well, guess why, though? He's plus 350 because he's probably not going to win. So that's when you want to think, yeah, it looks better. Hey, you know, my money will turn into this if Max wins. But guess what? The chances are Max won't win and Scotty will. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
It's the weather wasn't that bad, but, you know, the course played pretty difficult. I mean, only eight guys were under par. And then Sunday didn't have like the typical roars. And part of that is because 13, they've backed up the tee. And 15, they've backed up the tee, the two par fives coming in. And so those guys, even they hit bombs, it's like they have 230, 220 in.
Yeah.
You know, like Scotty was up kind of on the rough there on the right, 220. And like they still hit great shots and they'll put them on, but it's not like the 8-iron where it just floats in and it's got like the 6-footer for eagle.
Yeah.
So some of that was missing, but it's like, I mean, those guys were hitting sweet shots. And then I think some of them weren't used to seeing their names up there. You know, I had that guy, Nikolai Høggard, who was doing okay there for a second on Saturday, and he was the leader for like, yeah, a whole. And like, I'm sure as soon as he realized that, it's just the mental pressure goes.
He glanced over and he saw his name atop the leaderboard and he goes, oh shit, I might win the Masters.
Yeah, so the mind wandered. And guys like that, it's like they just totally melt down once that happens. So that's why years pass. It's like the bigger names always do well here.
Yep.
Except that guy, Ober, you know, Ludvig looked great for a young kid. And, you know, they want to project these guys' futures. It's like, keep going, man. We've seen this before and before again.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
But once the scar tissue sinks in, they get a little older. It's like, they just don't. You never see him as often as some of these dudes. But Scotty looks like he's staying here for a while.
Yep. He balled.
Maybe Jay Day's outfits stood out. They were pretty garb. and the guys at Augusta had to tell him to take off some of the stuff because it was too loud.
Yeah, I know. That's crazy. And he was wearing like the MC Hammer parachute pants.
I thought they were maybe rain pants for a second, but then I'm like, no, they have a belt loop in them. And
yeah.
Our buddy found them online. And then his sweater vest the next morning, you never saw it on TV because by the time they got to coverage, he was told to take it off.
Right. Yeah, that was the other thing that was interesting is I told you that the Masters, they don't get any TV money, which would get them anywhere from like $100 to $150 million a year. They go, nope, ESPN, you know, TBS, whoever else it is, you guys can have, you don't need to pay us anything, but we're going to control what's being seen here. And so I thought that was interesting. So they go, keep the chips. We're going to control what's viewed here, though.
Mm-hmm.
And the advertisers, they can control the advertisers. So, you know, someone might come to them and go, hey, we want to advertise. They go, yeah, no, we don't like your brand. Peace out.
Yep.
So that was interesting, too.
Yeah. Scotty dominated. You know, he definitely was trying to get back to his wife, whatever he kept saying. But then they showed the picture of him back at the dive bar in Dallas when he flew back. So I guess she was already asleep or something.
That was awesome.
But yeah, great tourney. Love watching it.
Okay. Well, let's get ready for the NBA. I'm actually juiced for the NBA playoffs. How are you feeling about it?
Yeah, this is when I kind of turned my attention to it. You know, that this is where they buckle down and they play way harder. It's like, especially these games tonight, like you got to win or you're done.
Yep, the play-in. Except, you know what? I think that might be a good time for me to explain the playoffs here because I know it's kind of confusing, so this might help some people out. So the play-in games consist of teams 9 and 10 and 7 and 8. Okay, so 7 and 8 play each other. The winner of that game is the seventh seed, and then the eighth, and then the opposite team waits for the winner of the 9-10, and the loser of the 9-10 is adios. So the loser of the 7-8 game actually gets an extra game to try to beat the winner of the 9-10. Okay, so the 9-10 tonight, Tuesday, is out on the West Coast. We got the West Coast Conference. Sorry if we lean a little bit more to that conference when we talk about it. Not only do we live out here, but I'm sorry, it's just way better. I mean,
yeah, the competition is definitely better in that anyway right now.
I mean, you could probably take maybe every squad, even the play-in squads, and they'd be like the second best team in the East. I mean, seriously.
I mean, it's been like this for a while. Even the LeBron era back East, he would just kind of cruise through the East for all those years. No one could sniff him.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I know. The West doesn't get props in a lot of sports, college football and college basketball. But wow, when it comes to the NBA, or the West dominates. So tonight, wow. Well, we know a lot about the Kings and the War Dogs because they're the NorCal teams. That's where we live. And I've been watching those teams a boatload. I mean, you might as well put me on the staff because I've been watching those games so much.
Give me the clipboard and put you behind the bench.
Right.
You know all the betting trends, like Michael Porter Jr.'s bro. he was taking nights off to hit his prop bets.
So tonight, the line is the War Dogs came out -1. It's up to like -2.5 now. Now, what's unfortunate is everyone and their mother is on Golden State right now, and that's always a little scary. I just don't see how the Kings beat them, though. I thought last year when the Kings were balling, that was the year they were going to beat them because the War Dogs were on the road, and they still weren't able to do it. It went, you know, 7 games, but one of my friends is like, man, the Kings did so well last year. Like, they're in the play-in game here. What happened? And so I'm like, I thought about it, and I'm like, well, De'Aaron's not playing as well. And he's like, he's not. And I looked up his stats, right? This is kind of interesting. And his stats actually are very similar than last year's. And I'm like, hold on, dude, I'm missing something here. So then I go, wait, let me check the clutch stats. Bingo. And the clutch stats for people out there is they keep, because you might hear like DeRozan and stuff is legit in the clutch, and Steph is actually #1. The clutch is when there's less than 5 minutes left in the game and it's a close ball game. Okay. So that's considered the clutch. Well, De'Aaron was #1 in the clutch last year. He was 86% from the free throw line. This year, 66% from the free throw line.
For in clutch?
In clutch.
Oh, okay.
In clutch. And last year in the clutch, he shot 52%. This year, he's shooting 44%. So there it is. It's big De'Aaron in the clutch.
Yeah, no, I remember last year he led the league in fourth quarter scoring because they're making a big deal about that.
Yeah, I mean, that might be the same stat almost. It could be.
Yeah, they definitely go hand in hand.
Yeah. So that's a big difference this year. And also, my boy Malik Monk, who's got serious hops.
That's what I was going to say. Like, yeah, that's a big problem for the Kings.
He's out. And so that's made a huge difference at the end of the season here. And that's why they've been losing games. So I just don't know. I mean, it scares me that, you know, everyone's taken the Warriors here. But I just don't see how the Kings haven't played well basically since Malik's gone out. And De'Aaron's just, you know, he's not playing as well as he has in the past in the clutch. So it's War Dogs.
Yeah. I mean, the big difference here is that was a 7-game series and it went to the 7th game and Steph went for over 50 in that game 7 up in SAC, which was, it was fun to watch. This is a one and you're done.
Yep.
But the Warriors, they knew even if they won on Sunday, was it? Everyone played Sunday at the same time, like 12:30.
Yeah.
So they didn't want to affect the outcomes. But they sat there, big dogs, the Warriors, because it didn't matter even if they won. The Kings had the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
So they just had the mindset, like, let's go up to SAC on Tuesday night, take care of business there.
The other thing is Trace Jackson Davis, the guy, the rookie from Indiana, who was a baller. I can't believe he slipped all the way down to the Warriors. He's been in the starting lineup. He's been playing the 5 for the War Dogs, and it's made a big difference on their defense, too. So he's actually a cool guy. Keep your eye on that guy. He gets the dips.
Mm-hmm.
He always gets like 3 or 4 dips a game. They'll throw him the alley-oops. I like that guy.
Yeah, Malik is such a spark. He's their 6th guy, and like he always puts in a lot of points on some nights. He can fill it up on the stat sheet.
Oh yeah, he can.
And then Herter was the kind of a 3-ball guy for him. He's out for the year.
Yep.
So they're some of their pieces are missing, and they need to make a trade for a third weapon in Sacramento anyway.
Yep, they sure do.
So I'm with you. It's I see -2 Warriors tonight. I would definitely take the Warriors.
Now we got the Lake Show in New Orleans.
And yeah, it's the 4:30 game our time.
And The line on that one is New Orleans minus one. Okay, now New Orleans just got smashed by the Lake Show the other day. The Lake Show came into New Orleans, and everyone thought, wow, this is going to be a ball game, and it was actually 124 to 108. And so everyone's kind of like, well, the Lake Show's going to do that again. Well, I'm here to say I don't think so. Mm. The winner of this game gets to play the Nugs. Have fun with that. Well, the Lake Show has lost their last 10 games in a row to the Nugs. Just do not match up well with them. So I've seen this movie before where the Lake Show goes in, they try to win the ball game, and they're like, yep, it's not happening. We'll just shut it down, and we'll face the 9-10 winner back in L.A. Seriously.
I think you'd much rather win tonight and just at least be in a series than roll the dice and want to take on the Warriors.
Oh, I'm not saying they're going to lose on purpose. I'm just saying I've seen it before. I think we'll see. Let's see if Big Zion and the crew gets way up and the Lake Show goes, shut her down. We're going back to L.A.
What, you know, they played each other Sunday, and Anthony Davis went out with the back spasm. So it's like, you know, how healthy is he going to be tonight?
Well, I mean, you could say that for the last 5 years.
No, like, he's held up pretty good this season.
No, no, he has. But I'm saying he's always questionable. Literally every single night, he and LeBron are questionable. Next to their name, it says GTD, game time decision. So, but yeah, I mean, what do you expect when you're 7'2"? You're not supposed to be really running around that much. You know, I mean, that's hard on the body, I'm sure. But anyway, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but he's always like that. He'll be ready to go. Plus, that's his old squad, you know, so I'm sure he gets fired up for that. But I just think the Lake Show, they match up well. You know, their history against the Kings and the War Dogs, they do well against them. I just don't think they're going to be, you know, I hear what you're saying. But maybe in the back of the coach's mind, and the owner calls up and goes, hey, bud, I don't care what you want to do here. We get slapped around by the Nugs. Let's try to push that off a little bit slower. let's let New Orleans play the Nugs.
No, see, if AD's like, you know, 85% or better here, I'd go with the Lakers. Like they veterans, they don't want to mess around and go back and play another one and done game.
Okay. We'll give that to you, buddy. We'll see what happens there. So what else is sticking out here in the West? I mean, what sticks out for me is that OKC got the number one seed. How about 2 years ago? They won a whopping 24 games out of 82. And 2 years later, they're the number one seed. Good try, guys.
Yeah. I mean, excellent job by that front office, the GM Presti. He got all that trade, you know, all those picks when he got rid of those big names, Durant and Westbrook and those guys.
Yeah.
Paul George came through for a second. He kept getting draft capital. And man, he made some great calls.
Yep. So they actually are going to play the winner of the Kings War Dogs series. And guess what? They might go down right mm-hmm, there.
For sure. It's a younger team now.
Yeah. Yeah. So especially if they play the War Dogs. I mean, we've been watching the War Dogs forever, and you know, I used to be the one that was kind of like, well, there's no way Steph's the best shooter of all time. Well, that's just silly now. I mean, he is a joker. And so, like, you start getting those games against the OKC, and he might be like, guys, it's not your time yet.
Yeah, you know, Clay's found a rhythm, and they've kind of gotten him back to being a starter, or plugging him wherever they need him, and Kerr knows how to take care of these guys. It's contract year for Clay. He wants the best for these guys that have been with him for all these years. He's like, let's go out on top, you know, see what we can do here.
Right. And then we got the 4-5, the Clip Show versus the Mavs. What's your take on that?
I like the Mavs. And was it a year or two ago where Luka, these guys matched up in the playoffs and they couldn't get Luka in check at all? He was shredding the Clippers. You know, Kawhi's health is always a big question mark. But the Mavs have kind of found their groove. I've never been a Kyrie guy, but somehow he's kept the lip kind of zipped, and they're doing fine.
He has kept the lip zipped.
Did you see they hit like the 50th win the other night, like last week, and it was like $1 million bonus for him? And he was like looking at Cuban when he's walking to the bench, kind of giving the money sign.
Oh, really?
And then he was telling the players, like, that's a mil.
Well, they're like, then take us out tonight, big guy.
Yep.
Tonight's on you. Let's let her rip.
Yeah.
I'm surprised like that works. I think it's probably just because Big Luka. I mean, is that guy having a decent season?
And Jay Kidd, our guy's the head coach, man. He's probably pretty good with the players.
Yeah. I think the clip show is going to get run out of the gym in that series. Like, you know, I know you got these like star names and they're just so garb. I mean, Kawhi's good. Like when he plays, it's tough for him to play. And Paul George has got game, you know, but it's kind of inconsistent. And don't even talk to me about Harden. Mm. And then your boy Westbrook, you know, I mean, he should have just probably retired. So it's like, yeah, it's not happening.
It sounds kind of like the jerseys when you're at the Ross and you're kind of flipping through the ones that have been there for like the 7 years. You're like, well, I see why they're the 10 bones.
Except I'd buy the Westbrook jersey for the 10 bones.
Right, yeah.
So do you agree that you think the Mavs move on there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Luka, dude, it baffles me how much hoop these guys play and some of their weight like just kind of stays like fuller. I'm like, dude, you play hoops constantly and you're right. Still just like this big dude.
Yeah, well, he probably chows. You know, I bet he eats the fast food.
Yeah, and I just, man, dude, just I love his kind of patient game. That's what I'm always telling my kid. I'm like, look at Luka. He's not like blowing by anybody, but like,
It's and how about when he shoots the jumper? He doesn't care that anyone's there. It's like he's in slow motion,
uh-huh.
And they can't block it.
Well, being 6'8" definitely helps that.
Yeah,
you can't teach that part, but just there is something—a bit of a slow hesitation or the threat of the shot. Like, doesn't matter if you're the quickest dude on the court if you do things the right way.
Yeah, and I've got Luka's back. The one thing though, Luka, if you're out there listening, bud, is can you please stop complaining to the refs?
Yeah,
gets a little old, big guy. Let's zone in on the game. And then the Nugs play, like we said, the winner of the Lake Show, New Orleans. That's going to be a total boat race. And then we got the T-Wolves and the Suns and the 3 and 6 spot. What are you thinking there?
Yeah, I know everyone likes the T-Wolves as the up-and-comer and, you know, Ant Edwards. That guy, love watching him raise up on people.
Mm-hmm.
I think if the Suns can pick up the pace here a little bit, I kind of am going to lean with the Suns and KD going off.
Yeah, dude, I think what I enjoy watching the Suns is you've got two of the best mid-range jump shooters probably of all time in Big Booker and Durant. Like, it's amazing how many points those guys score and they don't even really get many layups. You know, it's just all like 18 to like 20 to like 14 feet. They're just money. Those are their layups. I kind of like watching that. But I think they're in trouble here.
You think the T-Wolves have their number?
Yeah, I just, the jump shots aren't going to cut it.
I'll help you out here. See Alex Rodriguez and his business partner.
I'm back.
They wanted to buy the T-Wolves there.
Yeah.
And they have like 40% of it. But I guess the rumor was coming out that they were going to cut some payroll there. Once they took full ownership.
Yeah.
Because they had to find a second investment firm to kind of come up with the final payment amount. And then the original owner who still owns like the 60% was like, dude, I don't need you cutting a bunch of jobs here. Once you guys take over, so that he pumped the brakes. He's like, I'll keep the majority ownership right now.
Well, I think the value of the team also went up because they started playing better too.
Well, for sure.
Yeah. So that probably played into it.
Let's renegotiate. I got a better hand here.
So with that all being said and done, because we got to get to the East here, is who do we think's coming out of the West?
If they stay healthy, you know, I'd go with the Nuggets again.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. Can anyone give them a run here? If anyone does, who do you think it'd be?
Man, I could maybe see the Mavs getting to the West Coast final.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I'm looking at their path right here. The only thing is, like, let's say the Mavs beat the Clips, and let's say the War Dogs beat OKC if they make it to that 8th spot. Then you have the War Dogs against the Mavs.
That'd be fun to watch.
Yeah, it would. I'm with you. I think it comes down to the Nugs. Wow, the Nugs and the Mavs. If it's the War Dogs, I think the War Dogs take the Mavs. And then the War Dogs get blown out of the water by the Nugs. All right, let's move on over to the East here. We got the play-in games. Now, this one is, I just heard our producer say we have 4 minutes. So for those of you that enjoy the East, sorry if you're getting the quick version here. we have the play-in games, the Hawks versus the Bulls. Trey is actually back for the Hawks, and in my opinion, that's a bad thing for the squad. They were playing way better with him. Bulls win the ball game there. Then we got the Sixers Heat. Big Joel. I mean, when Joel plays, they ball.
I know, that's the problem, because I love when the Heat kind of makes a run, man. I love what they do with Jimmy Buckets and everybody. But yeah, Joel's a big problem.
And then you have like the Cleveland Magic. Is there anything you want to say about that series?
I like how the Magic's kind of turned it around. You know, they've had a bunch of number one picks. You know, even Markel Fultz came down from the Sixers, and Suggs from Gonzaga. The dude from Bama, Black. I mean, they have a boatload of point guards. Cole Anthony. It's all these guards.
Yeah.
Mixed in with, the dude from Duke.
Starts with a B.
Right. Yeah. I mean, so they're young, and they've definitely improved a boatload.
Boncaris.
Donovan Bongera. Yeah. Donovan Mitchell's healthy. You know, he's just not as explosive this year.
Well, it's time for him to step it up, is what it is.
I think his knees has been bothering him. So it's like, if he's not the same dude, I think the Magic can win this first series.
Okay.
And then they're going to get smacked by Boston.
Then the Bucks and the Pacers. So the Pacers have dominated them this year. 4-1, beat them in the in-season tournament game. But that was without Doc, someone was saying, as the head coach. I'm like, dude, Doc's done worse than the other coach. They're like 500 since Doc took over.
Yeah, Doc was blaming like the road crew and the people that work for the Bucks behind the scenes. I'm like, dude, back off here, bud. Let's take some ownership of what you're coaching.
No kidding. So, here it is with the Boston. Like, the Boston's revamped. You know, now they've got the guy that came over from the Bucks, actually, the defender, his name
Drew Holiday, and yeah. You know, Porzingis, and then Brown and Tatum.
Right.
It's a good mix for sure.
Holiday adds a lot to it because they've got someone that can be a lockdown defender.
They threw him on Team USA, I noticed, on the roster.
I saw that too. Yeah, that was kind of nutty. Normally I'm like, big Giannis is going to come to ball, but this whole thing with Dame, as soon as Dame, like, I found out Dame was signing with the Bucks, I'm like, that's not going to work. That's garbage. Like, I just knew it. Like, Dame, like, needs to have, Dame's better on a team that he gets the ball in his hands 95% of the time and let him chuck it up. And Dame, I love you because you're from the Oak Town, buddy, but. Yeah, you're just not a good combo with my boy Jan.
Well, and Giannis came out of that game with, like, they were hoping it wasn't the Achilles, but it's like the lower calf strain. So
yeah.
It's like, what percentages are we working with here?
They're just not playing very well this year. So, and Boston's just smashing people. I mean, so how about this? They beat the Knicks. Knicks took the second place. Boston beat them by 14 games this season. Had a record that was 14 games better than them. Best ever since the merger with the NBA. Best ever. 14 games better than the second place squad. That is pure domination. Boston, we'll see in the championship. It's just a matter against who. The Nugs or, my brother thinks maybe the Mavs. We'll see.
Yeah, see, I'm at the play-ins here. I think the Heat Sixers winner, you know, if they're healthier, I think they could make some noise. You know, they're going to take on the Knicks here.
Right.
And then, you know, if Joel and those guys get it going a little bit, or even the Heat, you know, I could see them winning two series in a row there.
I don't have anything against that. It's just not going to matter, though, when they play big Boston.
Yeah, more than likely.
Yeah. I mean, Boston's just like, all right, guys, we'll see you later through the East. We're going to go match up with the squads in the West and see what happens.
And then Tatum will choke when it comes crunch time in the finals.
So I think that matters. Like Boston, if Boston plays the Nugs, yeah, I think the Nugs win it again. I think in order for Boston to win it, they need to play against a squad that's not very like experienced.
That'd have to be the Mavs or someone kind of upset them.
Exactly. Like if they played the Mavs, put it this way. If they play the Mavs, I'm going with Boston. And with that all said, ladies and gentlemen, look for us on Twitter and Instagram, and you can follow me in the Action app as well. I put a lot of plays in there throughout the playoffs, but we'll obviously be back next Tuesday. Do you have anything else you'd like to say, brother?
No, I'm just kind of looking at the bracket again. I mean, yeah, if no one really gets super dinged up, I'd say Nugs, Boston. I'd go with Nuggets back to back.
But we'll be here with you throughout the playoffs, keeping you up to date and giving you our picks.
Yep. Keep an eye on Instagram and Twitter, like he said, at Bolt Brady Picks. Keep the reviews coming, too. We have some hats we can mail you guys if you take a snapshot of your review and email us, score@boltbrady.com. But we'll come at you guys next Tuesday. Appreciate you listening.
See ya.